gentlemen.
The biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hour two of JJ and Alex begins right now. Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester in for Alex today. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug.
That was
better. Okay?
That was better.
Okay.
Was
better. I'm trying to fill in for Alex on that. I'm giving it a try. If it goes bad, we won't do it tomorrow.
But
it's a process, so bear with me, all of you listening. It's not easy to do. I don't know how he does it. It's pretty impressive. All right. It's never too early to talk about college football, and that's what we're going to do next. We are going around the Big 12 here on JJ and Alex. And today, here at the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to hit UCF, the Knights. Let's learn a little about them now on The Cut.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We're going to brush up on our college football studies right now, our Big 12 studies. We welcome in Brandon Helwig, who writes for Rivals.com at UCFSports.com. Brandon, thanks for joining us here in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on. It's always football season in some respect, isn't it? I mean, we're in the middle of spring football. A lot of teams will be getting their spring games here going the next couple weeks. So, honestly, we can talk about football 365 days a year.
I'm all about it. I'm all in on that. And let's do some right now. Let's start with that. We want to get to know UCF a little bit better, but let's start with spring football. What are the top storylines for UCF in spring football right now?
But really, the top storyline, I mean, it might be similar to other schools. It's the transfer portal and the transfers you brought in January, how they're kind of integrating into the team. The story at UCF right now, the biggest story is obviously KJ Jefferson. He was the quarterback at Arkansas for the last 4 years, and he transferred in January to join Gus Malzahn. Gus actually recruited him a little bit when he was at his previous school at Auburn. So, with John Rice Plumlee moving on, working out. He was at the Big 12 Media Day the other day. Obviously, it was a need at quarterback. And with the way things go, you know how competitive it is these days with NIL and portal and all this stuff. Everyone always wants an experienced quarterback. It seems like schools don't have time or the patience anymore to develop a quarterback from within. You got to go get a top guy in the portal. And honestly, I don't think UCF could have hit a bigger home run than they got by, getting KJ Jefferson, the type of quarterback who is kind of tailor-made for a Gus Malzahn offense.
He's certainly physically imposing and a great athlete. We became familiar with him because BYU played Arkansas the last two seasons. He absolutely wrecked BYU's defense in Provo 2 years ago. But then BYU got the best of him last year and were able to put some pressure on him, get some sacks. I know that Arkansas team wasn't great last year, but you mentioned he's a great fit for Gus Malzahn's offense. What is it about his game, his talents, and his abilities that make it such a great fit?
Well, the comparison, whether it's fair or not to compare someone to one of the greatest quarterbacks here in the last decade plus, but he gets compared to Cam Newton a lot. And Cam Newton obviously played at Auburn. He played for Gus Malzahn, and that's kind of the mold that he is. You guys obviously have seen him play since they played BYU, like you said. He's a big guy. It's funny, he signed, UCF. They put, the highlight clips of him on Twitter and YouTube and stuff. And he just sheds tackle. I mean, he doesn't look like a quarterback. I mean, he looks like a freaking linebacker playing quarterback. So just for what UCF likes to do, the run game is going to be important for the quarterback. But for KJ Jefferson, he's coming in and things that he's repeated multiple times since he's been here obviously, this is his last year, his last year of eligibility. So he wants to prove that he's not just an athlete. He's not just a guy who can run and is playing quarterback. He wants to prove himself as a quarterback, throwing the football. He wants to be, maybe better known for his arm than it is for his athleticism. And that's a big thing. That's a big focus for him going into this season.
Man, that is awesome to hear. I mean, yeah, as Jeremiah said, we saw him against BYU the last few years. And he is, as you said, a linebacker, almost like a D-end at quarterback position, sitting in the pocket. And he has a huge presence. So the Gus Malzahn understanding of him and Cam Newton's relationship being in there. But with those receivers, with everybody understands, like, this a team needs chemistry, right? This type of team, does that fit well with KJ Jefferson? Have the guys really rallied around him and him coming in? Of course, you said transfer portal guys, 16 guys in, 16 guys out. With new guys coming in, has the team seemed like they've been meshing?
Yeah, I think everyone understand. You know, UCS first year in the Big 12. They were the only school amongst the four newcomers last year to make it to a bowl game. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the guys on the team thought they were a better team than what their record indicated. UCF finished 6-6 regular season, lost their bowl game to Georgia Tech, so ended up with a losing overall record last year. And that kind of left a sour taste in a lot of players' mouth. This is a team, whether it's, we'll see what preseason, projections have for this, this version of the Big 12. It's all brand new to, it was new to us last year during the Big 12, and now it's like all these PAC schools like Utah are joining. And honestly, UCF's schedule, they play every new incoming team from the Pac-12 plus BYU. So, UCF's not even playing these Big 12 legacy teams. They're pretty much playing all the PAC teams this season. But anyway, but UCF kind of feels like they're going to be a championship contender in the Big 12 this year. And that's why it was important for them to, load up on experience in the transfer portal. Guys like KJ Jefferson, but really where UCF's biggest weakness was on defense last year. They had, lots of trouble stopping the run. Linebacker was a real weakness. So they added a lot of experienced guys. One of their top portal guys is a linebacker named Ethan Barr. He played at Vanderbilt. He was a two-time team captain at Vanderbilt, leading tackler the last couple of years. Ladarius Tennyson was one of the top players in the Ole Miss secondary last year. He'll play nickel. He can play linebacker. They loaded up on a lot of guys who have a lot of experience. Deshaun Pace was another guy. He was playing, some sort of, hybrid safety at Cincinnati. He was arguably Cincinnati's best defensive player. He's transferred to UCF. So they brought in a lot of guys who have logged a lot of starts throughout their college football careers. I know every team's like saying the same thing right now, but I honestly believe that UCF could be considered one of those dark horse teams to win the Big 12 this year.
Wow. You mentioned, they did have success relative to being a newcomer last year. The other teams did not make a bowl game. They had the most success of the four. And you mentioned the expectations. What are those expectations inside the program and among the fans?
Well, yeah, the expectations are, like I said, whether it's too lofty of a goal too soon, I don't know. But I mean, with, obviously Texas and Oklahoma moving on, it's kind of some question marks, in terms of, who's going to step up in this new Big 12. Obviously Utah, obviously, is going to come in with, a lot of credit from what they were able to do in the pack. Kansas State will be mentioned up there. Expectations are Big 12 championship. That's kind of what Gus Malzahn is saying. That's what the fan base is thinking. At least being in the hunt. Let me put it that way. At least being in the hunt once you get to the final month of the football season, being in the hunt for a Big 12 championship. Mm.
Yeah, you said a lot about the defenders coming in from Tennyson to Pace and some of these other guys. Who are some offensive threats that we can look forward to seeing from UCF that's going to really light up the stage?
Well, the biggest name coming back is R.J. Harvey. He was UCF's running back last season and arguably probably should have been, one of the all Big 12 selections last year. His stats certainly back it up. I know it was a running back heavy league, and I think – for the most part, I think all the top running backs in the Big 12 are returning. You got R.J. Harvey at UCF. Gordon. I think the kid at Texas Tech and Kansas, they're all coming back too. But R.J. Harvey was the 1,000. Yeah, Ollie Gordon, obviously, that was the other one. He was the top one, I believe, all Big 12 last year. But, he's coming back. He ran for more than 1,000 yards last year, R.J. Harvey. They did lose one of their top receivers in Javon Baker, who is kind of rising up draft boards, you know, could be a, you know, early mid-round pick in the NFL draft. But they do return Kobe Hudson. He was their second leading receiver last year. But those are kind of the big names between, you know, KJ Jefferson, the Arkansas quarterback transfer, RJ Harvey, and Kobe Hudson.
Looks like UCF's got a lot of talent, and I think that there's a lot of respect for Gus Malzahn outside of the program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it, I was like, that was a great hire. It was a really good fit for UCF. How do the fans feel about Gus Malzahn and his tenure there, now entering his fourth year?
Yeah, I think everyone's on board with Gus. I just think everyone, you know, UCF fans, yeah, I guess every fan base is kind of the same, and they're a little bit different too. But, you know, if you remember UCF's run, you know, a few years back with Scott Frost, had the undefeated season, and or should I say the national championship season, I should say, in 2017, going undefeated. That was continued the following year with Josh Heupel. They won all their regular season games and the conference championship before finally losing for the first time in 2 years to LSU in the Fiesta Bowl. So expectations have kind of been maybe beyond where they should be in terms of the fan. I guess maybe most fan bases are kind of the same, but everyone kind of has this maybe too lofty expectations. I know fans are just kind of anxious for UCF to get back to, you know, a conference championship, because it's been, you know, I guess really since that 2018 season when they won a conference championship, their latter in the American, it was, you know, it had been, you know, UCF had been the kings of the American, and then Cincinnati was the one who kind of, you know, rose to the top for the last few years in that league. So I think UCF fans are just kind of, they went, obviously Gus has been recruiting at a really high level. They had a top 30 recruiting class. Yeah, I don't know how, you know, you kind of merge those, the portal rankings with the high school rankings. I think it might be more like a top 25 class. But, you know, the expectations, though, for the fans are, yeah, to get back to that conference championship.
Yeah, I think this state of Utah knows all so much about the hypothetical national championships and undefeated seasons that come with that. So we definitely get that. And you know, we know that UCF has a lot of pride with all of that. And these last couple of years, you guys have made changes. You know, every single year, every team kind of circles, you know, some games on the calendar. What game is UCF circling on the calendar this year?
Well, the big one they're circling on the calendar is Saturday, October 5th at Florida.
Mm.
It's one of those kind of mid-season non-conference games you don't usually see. You know, UCF and Florida, that's not a game that's been played very often. The most recent one was in the Gasparilla Bowl at the end of 2021, which was Gus Malzahn's first season. UCF won that game. Obviously, that, you know, obviously you guys know, you know, BYU and Utah, Holy War, anytime the in-state teams play, it's a big deal. And so obviously a lot of families, you know, have, you know, ties to, you know, maybe, you know, dad went to Florida, you know, wife went to UCF, whatever. There's a lot of ties there. And they'll be UCF's first trip to Gainesville since, I believe, 2006.
Oh, nice.
So a lot of people are circling that game. And, you know, there's a, I don't know how much you guys pay attention to Florida where you are, but, you know, Florida has not been what people expect of Florida for the past few years.
Well, we've,
you know,
played
Billy
them.
Napier. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, Utah played
them
the last 2 years.
That is right. So a lot of people are wondering, you know, I don't think people would argue that Billy Napier is on the hot seat going into this season, and they have a brutal schedule in front of them.
Yeah, he might get fired before the
season's up. Well, a lot of people think that would be the game if you lose to UCF, who I don't think that their fans would, you know, have a real difficult time with. If they lose to UCF, a lot of people think that would be the game you would get fired on. But we shall see. But yeah, that's obviously the game everyone has circled. But a lot of people actually, in the week before, this will be a game that will get a lot of people juiced up around the state of Florida. It's UCF's Big 12 home opener against Colorado.
Ooh.
Obviously, Deion Sanders, prime time.
Coach Prime coming to Orlando.
Right. He's from Florida. Obviously, you know, played at FSU. I think he was originally from Fort Myers area. So, you know, he's recruited from Florida. So that'll have a lot of hype going into that game as well.
Yeah, UCF's got a great conference schedule. It's interesting. You mentioned playing a lot of the new Pac-12 teams in BYU. BYU coming to Orlando Saturday, October 26th. Utah coming to Orlando Friday, November 29th. So Utah and BYU fans, maybe making the trip to Orlando. Everybody looks for an excuse to go to Disney World. So I guarantee you, BYU and Utah fans will be traveling for this games. I wanted to give you an opportunity to share with BYU and Utah fans, what's the game day atmosphere like? What are the fans like there? What's the crowd like at a UCF game so that they know what to expect come October and November?
Yeah, I mean, I think UCF has one of the, you know, I actually haven't been everywhere in the Big 12. Now there's all these new teams coming in, but I think UCF has a tremendous home atmosphere. You know, it's a relatively new program. The university was only founded in 1963. The football program kind of went through the different stages of, you know, Division III back in 1979 and eventually became a Division I-A FBS in 1996. So they've kind of gone through the different levels of football. And even in Division I, Division I-A have gone through, you know, they were an independent, they were in the MAC, Conference USA American, and now, you know, Power Four with the Big 12. But UCF built an on-campus stadium back in 2007, and that was the move. That was the, if you want to say, why is the number one reason UCF is in the Big 12 today? Is it, you know, was it the stretch run in 2017, 2018? Was it this or that? You know, it really was building the stadium in 2007. It may not be the fanciest stadium in the world, although it will be getting remodeled here. They just announced the other day that they're going to tear down the tower and they're going to rebuild that side of the stadium. The construction will take place next year in time for 2025. But it's a great atmosphere. Fans take their football seriously around here. UCF fans love to tailgate. There's a big tailgating scene here. But I know BYU and Utah fans should have a good time. BYU, I know, has played down here. I think it was 2014.
Yes.
They played either a Thursday or Friday night game, something like that. I think they played here about 10 years ago.
Crazy ending. I think, if I remember right, BYU lost in overtime. Yeah. Crazy sequence there. Brandon, you're going to have to wait a year to come out to Utah to enjoy the tailgating at Utah, the pig bus, and you're going to have to go down to Provo and get a cougar tail. You're going to have to wait a year for all that.
Yeah. I experienced, though, I went back in 2011. I think that was when UCF made the trip.
That's
out there.
Right.
It was a Friday night, 2011. I enjoyed my time. It was a beautiful scenery, gracious fans. I had a really good time back then.
So you've been to Provo, you've experienced all that, so you can look forward to it again. Brandon, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure. We've learned a lot about UCF today, and can't wait till the games actually happen. We got to wait a long time, but the wait's going to be fun. We appreciate it.
It'll be here before we know it.
I know.
It'll
always
be here
does.
Before we know it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you taking the time to come on and teaching us a little about UCF. What stood out to you, Sly, about UCF?
Well, they're a team on the rise. Of course, we talked about it, right? There's just so many new guys in,
right.
So many new guys out. That is huge. And at key positions, that's what stood out to me is those key positions on defense. Especially he talks about two new safeties coming in from two different universities. Yes, they're experienced. But does it go with their style of defense? That's something that I have to do more research on to see how they fit. They got the top linebacker from Vanderbilt in. But for me, they just got a lot of transfer guys, quarterback, in both the safety positions. They do have a returning running back and receiver that are coming back. That should be pretty dominant. But that nothing about all of that speaks to chemistry, right? And so, yeah, you got some great individuals, but can those guys mesh together? Can they work within this style of defense? Like, there's a lot of players that can only play post-high safety style defense, so you have to have certain plays that, or it could be like Utah, right? Utah has multiple safeties that can transition down into the box, back into the post. So it's can those players fit well, build that type of chemistry? And I've talked to the Utah coaches many times this offseason. That's the biggest thing that they do is building the culture, building the chemistry, so guys can work together on and off the field.
If you're gonna win the Big 12, you've got to have a star quarterback.
Yes.
Let's look at the top teams. Cam Rising, Utah. Noah Fifita, Arizona. Shedeur Sanders, Colorado. The list goes on and on of great quarterbacks in this conference. KJ Jefferson has the talent.
Mm-hmm.
He may have the ability. I don't think what he's saying is crazy. I think if KJ Jefferson hits with that Gus Malzahn on offense and these transfer portal guys work out, look out for UCF. We may not be talking about them enough, but if the KJ Jefferson experiment works, and he's one of the top five, maybe three quarterbacks in the conference, they are legit. Big 12 contenders.
Well, we know they got a lot of three-star guys on that team, but like we know that they got talent. Yeah. They got skill.
And speed.
And all you really need, and we've known this over the past few years, past decade, right? When we have a good quarterback, you can do some great things. There's talent all over the place. So, yeah, if KJ Jefferson is that guy, veteran guy that'll come in, fifth-year senior, can throw the ball, has had familiarity with the offense and the head coach, that could be some great things. As you said, UCF could be a very dangerous team coming into this year.
All right. We have that to look forward to. We're not done. We'll hear from Arizona State. We'll learn more about the Sun Devils coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Some more college football talk coming up on JJ and Alex. We've got to take a short break. When we come back, the women's basketball game, women's basketball is having a moment, and that moment is tonight. We'll talk more about that and how the women's game has more star power than the men's game. It's true. We'll explain to you why coming up next on JJ and Alex, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
I don't think people realize, like, it's not personal. Like, once we get out between those lines, like, if I see you walking down the street, like, it's, hey, girl, like, what's up? Let's hang out. Like, I think people just take it, like, we hate each other. Like, me and Caitlin Clark don't hate each other. Like, I want everybody to understand that it's just a super competitive game.
Well, that kind of ruined the fun. Sly, don't you want to hate your opponent? Isn't it more entertaining when we hate our opponents?
I think it's selective from women to men, you know, from how that looks, right?
Well, like, I would say this, Sly, like you look at the NBA, even college basketball, and in the NBA especially, like these players have the same agents, and they come from the same circles, right, and they dap each other up after the games and exchange jerseys, and it's weird, and I think a lot of fans that have been longtime fans of the NBA have been kind of off-put by it because it's like, well, when, these guys are buddies. Like, I'm turning in to watch a competition.
Right.
The women's game kind of feels like that, kind of like an 80s/90s NBA feel to it where you've got a lot of rivalries going on, and this LSU-Iowa thing feels like a rivalry. And like she's saying, I'm joking. Obviously, she's saying they don't hate each other, but that doesn't mean the intensity of this rivalry isn't real.
But that's what she alluded to.
We saw what happened last year, tapping the ring finger and stuff in front of Caitlin Clark's face. I loved it. It was awesome.
She was like, between these lines, there is no friends, you know, but outside, you know, we are human. We're good. We can make things happen, which is I like both sides of it. I like the 80s. I like the new age. I like the new age because I understand what competition brings. Right. Yeah. Competition is supposed to bring the best out of you. I like the 80s because you play with a different emotion. There's a hate in your like, oh, right. I can't stand it. Oh, I can't wait to dunk on him. Oh, I hope he's under the rim on this fast break. Right? Like, that's the mentality. And then, but it's the same thing. You can have that same mentality, you know, as players. Like, my best friend, we go play a pickup game, and he's guarding me, and I'm dunking on him. You give me the lane, I'll dunk it with my left hand. Like, and then I'm going to tell you afterwards, like I just did. But that's competition right. at its best. And your friends, your people who you actually think are on your level, who you believe are on your level, they should bring the best out of you. And so hopefully that competition does that, and these guys aren't in the same locker room, so there's that. But I'm hoping that in between those lines, these guys just bring the best out of each other. Steph Curry and LeBron, we can't say that they take it easy on each other, but they're good friends. But I think there's a respect factor there between those two.
Wouldn't it be a little bit better if they didn't like each other? Just a little bit better.
Of course.
We're discussing this
more because storyline.
Tonight is the Elite Eight in the Women's College Basketball Tournament. And right now, Sly, women's college basketball is having a moment. Because if you look around, there are dynasties building. Mm-hmm. There is high level of competition spread out through several different teams. You have star power. You have big-name coaches. You have everything that you expect the men's game to have, but it's actually taking place in the women's game. And the level of competition, the level of play is phenomenal.
Yes.
Caitlin Clark is the biggest college basketball star in the country, men or women?
Hands
right?
down.
Would anyone argue that?
There's no anytime
does
she's
Zach Edey
she
have
doesn't
State
even
Farm
have
ads?
The season over with, and she just got offered what from Ice Cube $8 to $10 million
$5 million
for 10 games.
Yeah,
come on,
right?
There ain't no college men's player getting that.
Does Donovan Klingon of UConn have a multi whatever deal with Gatorade? Are we seeing a UConn player in the Gatorade commercials?
No.
So what? This is amazing.
Yes, it's
and
great.
It shows you the growth of the women's game, the entertainment value of the women's game, the star power of the women's game, and also the respect that the women's game is now earning. The LSU-Iowa game tonight in the Elite Eight pits LSU, the defending national champions, who are coached by Kim Mulkey, who's one of the most colorful lover or hater characters in sports right now. And her team plays with that same angst with Angel Reese and Flau J. Johnson. They are flashy. They are arrogant. They are brash. They are in your face. And some people love that. Some people don't. Isn't that perfect? Isn't that what we've always loved about sports?
That goes back to your
exactly
your scenario.
You love them
yes.
or hate them.
Yeah.
And you look at across the aisle is Iowa. And you have Caitlin Clark, who is like Jimmer Fredette 2.0. Like, she hits three-pointers from the logo, and she's the national player of the year, and she plays on this team that's never been this far before, and she's scoring 30-plus points per game, and she's in every ad, and everybody loves her. And she's going up against LSU, and you have this dynamic that's great, and we saw it play out last year in the Final Four, and it was awesome. Angel Reese pointing to her ring finger. She's getting the ring.
After the game, there was so much talk after the game.
Isn't it great, though?
Right? That survived
for
months.
The men's game doesn't have anything I just described.
Nothing like that.
And I'm just getting started. There's another game tonight.
Right.
It's USC, the one seed, versus UConn. USC has the next great college basketball star, men or women. It's Juju Watkins. She dropped 50 in a game this year. And now she's on this big stage. She's got USC one win away from a Final Four. And who are they playing? They're playing the UConn Huskies, who dominated women's college basketball forever. Gino Auriemma is their head coach. He's won mega titles, right? And he's another guy that's polarizing. Mm-hmm. Love him or hate him. And they've got a star player in Paige Beckers, who's coming back from injuries. But she was a rock star coming on, and she was in essentially Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark.
Right.
And she's back, and she's playing at a high level. And then you look on the other side of the aisle, South Carolina hasn't lost this year. They are dominating. They are a dynasty. They've been to four consecutive Final Fours. And I mentioned all this, and NC State is in there. They just made it to the Final Four. And you add all this stuff together, and you have all these compelling storylines that the men's Final Four can't deliver. Who's the star player for Alabama?
Oh, number four.
Don't feel bad, Sly. I've been watching. I can't tell you. I couldn't name a player on Alabama right now.
But that, I mean, that's the power that these girls have made. Like, all my bets, I've told you for the last 2 years, all my bets, I'm like, give me women's basketball jerseys. Right? I got Sabrina Ionescu jersey right now.
Nice.
My next bet is the Asia Wilson jersey. Right? Like, I'm collecting. Kelsey Plum's next after that, but I'm collecting my women's jerseys. Caitlin Clark, somebody owes me. They just don't want to pay me. But I'm collecting my women's jerseys now, but that's the game. That's been over the last couple years that I've been more invested in the women's game, and everybody has. And they're stars. They're talking their talk, but they're backing it up. That's what I love about Angel Reese, is she can talk smack as she does, but she brings it every single night. You're just waiting for her not to bring it so you can chastise her that way. But, like, you can't, because she continually is backing it up. And that's a part of the game that I love. I love that part. And then Caitlin is just so talented, dominant, skill set, off the charts. Oh, yeah, let me stop her from three. I'm going to pick her up at half court so she doesn't shoot. She'll blow right past you and shoot a nice floater
just
game.
Just do a step back on the logo and nail
it. Yeah.
Like, nothing but net.
Like it, but it's so much semblance to the men's game that we love so much, and Steph Curry, right? But that's the game. The game evolves, and I absolutely love it. And, yes, I do think this is the peak in women's sports right now, is this college basketball. As you said, the star power from Dawn Staley to Paige Butkers to Jeannie Auriemma to Angel Reese and Kate Mulkey and Caitlin Clark. I just think that – the game is going to another level, and I absolutely love where
you
it's at.
You just rattled off a long list of women's card basketball stars.
Hey, you talk about Utah women's basketball with Alyssa Pealey.
It goes on and on. There's so much depth in the game now.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's not just UConn every year with the five best players in the country.
It's spread out. It's not just one team.
The talent is spread out. There's more teams, and even a team like Utah has been able to benefit from that because the game has grown so much because of players like Caitlin Clark. Let's hear from Caitlin Clark, her thoughts on the national attention that she's been receiving this year.
It's been cool to see our impact all across the country, and I think that goes back to what we were able to do at the Final Four last year and the way people really loved our team and loved getting to support our team. Maybe, you know, a lot of people didn't know who we were then, but obviously this season, you know, every single game we've played has basically been sold out. People love coming and supporting us.
And it's not easy to get praise from Kim Mulkey, but Caitlin Clark has pulled that off. Here's what Kim Mulkey has to say about college basketball's biggest star.
Caitlin Clark is a generational player, and she's not all about threes. She can pass the ball. She can take you off the dribble. Obviously, our focus will be on her, but not solely on her.
There's so much focus on Caitlin Clark, and all you got to do is watch the games, and you see lines lined up outside of where Iowa plays college basketball. You're not seeing that in men's college basketball. You're not seeing people waiting in line. They can't wait to get into the arena and watch her. Sold out arenas wherever she goes. The highest rated, I'm telling you right now, the highest rated women's college, the highest rated college basketball game, period, men or women, is taking place tonight. It's when LSU plays Iowa. I'm watching.
Championship game was 12 million views last year.
It's going to be approaching that number tonight.
Tonight, I think it'll be around 8. We've already been hyping this up like crazy. Monday Night Football, you know those numbers. This is going to be Monday Night Football-S numbers.
And this is an Elite Eight game, not even a Final Four.
Not even a Final
and
Four.
And I guarantee you, you're going to take these numbers from this game tonight and you can compare them to the men's tournament Elite Eight games and you're going to be blown away at the difference.
Mm.
Women's college basketball
has arrived.
There wasn't
an Elite Eight in the men's? That happened?
It's already done. See? And you didn't even pay attention. Like 95% of the people listening right now who probably didn't watch all the games. Because this is more compelling. These storylines draw people in. This is drawing the casual viewer. People see Caitlin Clark on State Farm ads. They see her on Gatorade ads. They're seeing her all over. They're curious. They want to know.
Who is she?
So they're tuning in.
So she gets more and more fans by the day.
And they won fans over last year. It takes time. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
But women's college basketball has become must-see TV at the highest level. And you're going to see that again tonight. This game has taken itself to another level. And men, on the men's side, they need to take note because men's college basketball needs to be this compelling and this dynamic. It's not right now, and that needs to change.
Got to come back to Cardiac Kimba days. It's got to come back to Cardiac Kimba days.
They need a star.
Yeah.
They need a star that's going to capture
Cooper Flagg might be that guy.
He could be. For
I like him
But he's
a
playing
lot.
For Duke.
Yeah, blue bud.
Gross. I don't think I could stomach that, but great player, though. All right, Jeremy, we got a giveaway.
Yeah, we do.
Are we giving something away? All right, let's do this. Call us right now. What caller do they need to be? Caller 12?
It's always 12, yeah.
It's always 12. There you go. I host a show, and I don't even know that.
You're still working away on a couple things.
I'm new. Forgive me. Call us now to give us the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week. We gave out this morning on DJ and PK. Be caller 12 now at 801-575-9663. And tell us the play to be our winner with an impressive lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs. It's no wonder that people are switching to Chevy, Rocky Mountain Chevy dealers. Again, 801-575-9663. Be caller number 12 and give us the Mountain Chevy dealers play of the week, and you will win something. All right, we got to take a short break. When we come back, Utah football, spring football update. Sly's got some insight and some takes you won't get anywhere else. Coming up next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.